The title of our lesson today is Benjamin Sack, Judah's Appeal, and Joseph's Declaration. And our devotion and background study is the 44th chapter of Genesis. I'll read that at this time. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these things? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Joseph and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loved him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou said unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad is not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now, Therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come to my father? Would there be any announcements before we go to our class?
That's a lot of reading on the devotional
So, I'll try to teach you. About run out of words. So, we'll continue here in the 45th chapter of Genesis in verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Okay, basically we've got a reunion going on here. And I couldn't help but think about the reunion that there will be in heaven when we're all gathered there. But as I studied this, I don't think that that's what this is a picture of. I think this, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe what we have here is a picture of the fellowship that God's people can have with God. That the way that we can commune with God when our heart is right. Because we've been studying this for a while, and you know all the history that's gone on, and I just read to you how that Judah has offered to take the place of Benjamin so that Benjamin won't have to be a servant. And there was repentance there and asking for forgiveness for sins. And after that has occurred now, there is a communion, a reunion. They're hugging and they're talking to each other. There no longer is jealousy, and there no longer is anger and strife here, but just brotherly love. So going back up into the first verse here, where it says Joseph had refrained himself before all of them and stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out. There is no one that stands between us and the Lord. Any one of us at any time can have communion with the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, whether there's people around or not. In essence, we don't believe as many other religions where you pray to somebody to intercede on your behalf to the Lord, but rather we go directly to the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. And that's the case that we have today. We can go to Jesus and we can ask Him, and He will hear our cries, He will hear our pleas. But we noticed that before that happened, we saw the repentance. We saw what had to happen, what had to be to lead up to that. Now, it says here that Joseph could refrain himself, and that he made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. I'm convinced that the Lord wants to meet with us very much. He wants to have communion with us. Joseph here is eager. The first thing he does, he asks about his father, and he tries to get his father in there. He wants all of his family together. He wants them all gathered together. He wants to watch over them and take care of them and make sure they make it through this famine that's coming along. And I believe that the Lord is in the same position today. He wants to take care of His people. He wants to watch over us. He wants to keep us from the evil that is about us. He wants to take care of us. And that's what He longs for. That's what He yearns for. Joseph, in this lesson that we're saying, is explaining to them what's coming up. You know, he's telling them the famine's not over. It's gone on for 2 years. There's 5 years left. And he tells them what needs to be done from the sixth verse on down to the 11th. Well, the ninth, he's telling them to go get your father and bring him down into Egypt that I can feed them. And because, you know, hard times, they're not going away anytime soon. They're not even halfway done with the famine there. And he doesn't want anybody to be left out. He doesn't want anybody to go hungry. And I think the Lord's the same way today. The Bible teaches us that he will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep that's gone astray. And I think that's what Joseph is saying there. He could go get your father. Don't leave your father behind either. Get everybody. That's what we need to be concerned about also. We need to have everybody here. You know, we don't need to give up. We don't need to give up on our family members. We don't need to give up on anybody. But there's one thing that we do need to be aware of. I'm going over to the 59th chapter of Isaiah. You probably already can guess what this is. Just the first two verses of the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we have the cause of the problem here, the sin. The sin is what is separating God's people from God. It's what separates the lost from God, but it's also what separates God's people from God. It's why that I said a few minutes ago, the prayers sometimes are just vain repetitions. That's because of sin, because I don't have my heart where it needs to be. I don't acknowledge the wrong that I may have done in the past. I don't acknowledge what needs to be done. Just like the preacher said last week, we want to sweep it under the rug, kind of pretend like it didn't happen, or it's not happening. It says here, that separates you from your God. So we can't pray when we're in that condition. Now, it took quite a bit. I mean, we've been reading about the story of Joseph here for almost an entire quarter now, and we've covered a span of many years. I'm not sure, about 15 or 16 years. It probably took that long for the people to get in the position that they needed to be in. It took that long for Joseph to get the experience and to rise up into this position of power, but it also probably took that long before his brethren really began to understand what they had done, before they really began to see how it affected their father and the things that had come on, they had to get a little bit of age on him. And it wasn't until they began to deal with Joseph and this famine came on and hard times came on and they got brought down. And then these mysterious things happened to them where the money showed back up in their sack. And that kind of brought the past back to them. It brought it back to life for them. They probably thought it was pretty well swept under the rug. It was all over with. They'd gotten by with it. Wasn't going to be any kind of retribution. It was just going to be something that just between them, and it was all going to be okay. But then he comes back, and to their credit, they acknowledged it. They acknowledged the reason why the sin has come upon them, the pain has come upon them. And Judah, at least, has repented to the extent that he's willing to become a servant in the house of Pharaoh, that someone else can go back, Benjamin can go back to his father. So I guess the point that I'm trying to get across on this is, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen with just a quick, "Oh Lord, forgive me," or "Lord, help me." But rather, it's something that worked upon them for a long period of time. Now, I don't think it had to be a long period of time. I think that the Lord was willing from the very start to put things back right. But rather, it was because of the people themselves. I'm getting finished a lot faster than I had expected. I thought I had a lot of notes here, but I'm pretty well going through them. But I want to go to Revelations in chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is the Lord. This is Jesus. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." That's what the Lord wants. He wants to sup with us. He wants to dine with us. It's not a literal thing. It's a figure of speech, but he wants to sit around and talk to us, to move our hearts, to guide us. He wants to prepare us for the things that are coming in the world, in our lives, because he knows what's coming. He knows the problems that are in front of us. He knows how it's going to affect us. He knows what Satan's going to do. And he's saying there that if we'll open the door unto him, he'll come in unto us and he'll be there with us. But we as his people have to be willing to open that door. And a lot of times that means that we have to be willing to repent. We have to acknowledge that we've done wrong. We have to turn back to him that he might give us guidance and that he might heal us as his people. Now, you know, I always want to say this when I'm talking to about saved people repenting and turning back. And I know we all already know this, but just in case there's anybody that hears this somehow or another, I'm not going to lose my salvation. It's sealed and it's done, and you're not going to lose your salvation either. But we can sure do a lot of damage, and we can cause people to not be saved that could have otherwise been saved. I believe that. I believe we can lose our effect, just as Lot lost his effect. And when time came to escape Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was just him and his two daughters. His wife didn't even have enough faith. He didn't have enough influence over his wife to keep her from turning back. And I believe she turned back because she longed for that. She wanted the whatever was in there, whatever good things, I guess, that she thought she had in those cities, she wanted that, and it bothered her to leave that behind. And he didn't have enough influence over her to convince her that it was bad, it was wrong, and they needed to get out. And you can read also about his daughters. They hadn't been raised well enough to understand what was right and wrong, I don't believe, because had they understood, they wouldn't have done what they did later on with their father. But there was a lot of sin there that didn't get acknowledged. So Does anybody have any thoughts, any questions? The thought that I had this whole lesson as I tried to study it was about a reunion, a family reunion, and it came to me that, you know, we're a family here. We need to be together. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be both physically together as we are today, but we also need to be spiritually together, praying for each other, praying for a common prayer that God might heal us, His people, and that we might pray for the lost, and we might pray for each other and each other's families, because we are a spiritual family. If nobody else has anything, we can be dismissed, and let's keep the prayer request that's been made on our hearts. Remember Brother Armour. The Lord might be with him. Give him guidance and strength. I'll ask Don if he would to dismiss us.
Our most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for this and us together. I pray, Lord, that you might bless each and every one of us. I ask, Lord, that you might honor these things in our heart today. And thank you for taking them. Glory, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you might bless us. Lead us and guide us to the Holy Spirit. Keep us submissive to thy will. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. And ask, Lord, that you might give us a good service. Bless his name, Jesus, for his sake. Amen.